Morning and today's daf in Chulin Chaf Zayin. We are at the Mishnah on the top of the Amud. We're starting the second parak of the Masechta this morning. Second parak, more on the topic of Shechita. So we know that Shechita requires a specific type of cut of an animal in order to take the life out of the animal. Take the life out of the animal to the effect in which we're now allowed to eat the animal, and on top of that, the animal is not an avela. I think I mentioned this from day one, but it's just basic and good information to know. Shechita accomplishes two things. When you shecht an animal, so you are being machshir the animal. The animal was in a state of being a tray for us to eat. We're not allowed to eat an animal that went unshechted. While the animal is alive, so the isser is, the easiest way to say the isser, and there's a Rashi earlier in the Masechta that says it, is that it's Eiver Min HaChai. You can also tack on top of that. Tosus talks like this kind of language, that it's an Eino Zvuch. It's just simply not shechted yet. Whatever the isser is, obviously it's an isser before the animal is shechted, and once you shecht the animal, so now the animal is mutar l'achila. So number one, it creates an allowance for us to eat the animal. Number two is that it prevents the animal from becoming an avela. And an animal that dies without the benefit of shechita is now a source of tumah. It's an avela. An avela is metami both b'magav v'masa, both touching the animal and lifting the animal and carrying the animal. So it communicates tumah in either one of those two ways. And so when you shech the animal and you give the animal a proper shechita, so it's no longer going to be a nevela. So those are two things that a shechita does. Later in the Masechta, we're going to entertain the discussion about what if my shechita does not result in a heter achila, i.e., let's say it's a treifa, would that shechita still remove the tumas nevela? The answer is going to be yes, but we're going to be discussing that later in the Masechta. Our topic, our second parak is going to continue along the lines of shechita. The first parak dealt with some of the more basic questions of who shechts, when you could shecht, right? With what do you shecht with? Our parak is going to be a little bit more focused on the how. How exactly is shechita done? How is shechita performed? As will become clear in the course of just today's daf alone. So shechita requires that a knife go back and forth in a slicing motion through the front of the neck, and so that it cuts two major pipes. The two major pipes that it's cutting is the trachea and the esophagus. Now, we all know that neither of those are for the flow of blood. Trachea is for the flow of air. Esophagus is for the flow of food to go down from the mouth into the stomach. First of many, four stomachs. Later in the Masechta, in the third parak, we're going to be discussing all four stomachs with a lot of detail. So we all understand that neither of these pipes are blood or for the purpose of blood flow. And by severing these pipes, you are certainly not going to be extracting any blood. But we also know that connected with these pipes are going to be major arteries and major veins, and we're going to be cutting them as well. Interesting, I'll say it now, as we're about to start the Mishnah, is that there's no absolute requirement to cut the major arteries and the veins that are running up and down the neck. Now, you're going to see as we go through the Mishnah that there is going to be an opinion of Rav Yehuda that she says that says that you're going to be cutting the vredim as well. Right, you have to cut the. Now, when we say vredim over here, so we're certainly talking about major blood vessels, but whether we're talking about the arteries, whether we're talking about the veins, or maybe both, not clear. But there is an opinion of Rav Yehuda. So, a couple of interesting notes, which I'll cite the Tosos inside when we get to it, which we're going to get to in just a couple of moments from now. First of all, Tosos says that's not even by animals; that's just by birds. And Tosfos says that's not even a bidiev, it's just simply a lechatchila. And that's just simply for blood extraction. I'll explain that much better in just a couple of moments from now. So yes, it's interesting that there is no specific requirement to go for the jugular or to go for the carotid artery. However, there's also a very basic understanding, and again, that will be clear from today's daf, that when you cut the trachea and when you're cutting the esophagus, there is going to be significant blood loss. In other words, it's inevitable. When you go for those pipes, there is going to be significant blood loss. And so even though there is no requirement per se to cut the major arteries going through the neck, but it's just kind of it's a collateral damage that will in fact happen. Correct. There's a mitzvah of kisur adam, and in today's daf alone, you're going to see numerous gemaras that speak about this idea that we need dam and nefesh, that we need the blood to come out. Fine. So let's just try to make that point as clearly as possible. Okay, I think we're ready. Let's go. Mishnah begins on Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. Hashochedecha ba'of v'shaim bebehema. Shechita sokshera. So the interesting distinction that made between a bird and an animal is that by a bird you only have to cut one of these two pipes. And, as will become clear later on, you know, there's no requirement of one over the other. Could be the trachea, could be the esophagus, but it doesn't have to be both. Now, granted, anatomically, you're going to be hitting one before the other. In fact, I have a wonderful picture right in front of me of a of the neck of the bird. Of those of you who are following in, I don't know how to pronounce his name, Rabbi Lack? Or, anyway, Sefer Tzimunichol. So a fantastic picture book that supplements the Masechta. So I'm on page number 35. Okay, thank you. So I'm on page 35. So it's a wonderful picture. And yeah, in other words, it's by the bird. The likelihood is that you're going to be hitting the trachea before the esophagus, but not necessarily. Meaning you don't have to necessarily do it in that order. And just as long as you cut one of the two, the shechita would be an adequate shechita. Shechita is good. Shnayim bebehema, when you get to an animal, however, you have to cut both pipes. Shechita sukshera. And so if you do one pipe by a bird and two pipes by an animal, the shechita would be good. The Gemara is going to jump on this first line of the Mishnah. I'll just foreshadow the Gemara's question. By an animal, so the Mishnah just taught us that you shech both and the shechita would be good. What's the language of the Mishnah? So this is something that we keep seeing again and again. Shechita sukshera means that it's okay. You get a check, but not a check plus. Now, by an animal, by a bird, okay, so you shechted one pipe, maybe you should have done two. Good. But when it comes to an animal, like, what more are you supposed to do? You shechted both pipes, and then the Mishnah says, okay, the shechita is good. Good. In other words, okay, I should be hearing better than okay. So stay tuned, the Gemara is going to ask that very question. Rubu shalachat kamahu. Now, in terms of how much of the pipes you need to shech, so, best to shech all of it. Now, I know that, I say that because I know the Gemara is going to say that. But but it's adequate if you shech the majority of the pipes. So in other words, if you take the circumference of the pipe and you go through 51% of its circumference, later we'll discuss inner circumference, outer circumference, that's coming up later on in the perek. But as long as you do 51%, that shechita is going to be a good shechita.
For the bird also?
Yeah, for the bird also. Absolutely. Well, okay.
It's only one.
So the majority of one. Okay, good. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ashish Chodes HaVridim. Now, Rabbi Yehuda says that you have to go through the vridim. You have to go through major arteries. Okay, could be talking about the veins, could be talking about the arteries, but whatever the case is, you have to go through major blood vessels. Now, over here, Tosus writes, I'll show you now the Tosus inside. I said it outside just a moment earlier, but look at the first Tosus on the parak. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ashish Chodes HaVridim, Dafka Ba'of. So, Rabbi Yehuda's chumra, so to say, of having to go through the major blood vessels is talking specifically about a bird, and hol v'tzolei kulo ka'echad mukila b'gemar. Now, it's based on the Gemara coming up, and why? Why do we have to go through major blood vessels of a bird? And the reason why is nothing to do with the actual act of shechita, but it has to do with blood drainage. We know that when you're preparing the meat, eventually with an animal, what we're all going to end up doing is we're going to cut the animal up. There are going to be plenty of places within the animal for whatever blood got trapped in the animal while you shechted it, so it's going to come out because we're going to be cutting up the animal into many different pieces. But when it comes to a bird, so typically what happens with a bird are smaller in general, and so what you're going to end up doing is you're going to be roasting the bird whole. Because you're going to be roasting the bird whole, so the best approach, says Rabbi Yehuda, is to try to drain out as much blood as possible during the shechita. So that's why during shechita, what you should be doing is, in addition to hitting a siman, you should also be hitting the major arteries so that there will be a full drainage of it, or not full, but a maximum amount of drainage of the blood, so that eventually when you roast it, there won't be that much blood left. And Tosos also points out, just one more line of Tosos, Uchu Rav Yehuda Kaimalan, Kedam Rav Peper Kama de Brachos, Hizar Rav Ridim Kur Rav Yehuda. So Tosos reminds us of the Gemara Brachos, which is, now, lechatchila, you should be following the position of Yehuda. When shechting a bird, you should be going for the vridim, go for the jugular. And again, I'm not being really particularly specific in terms of whether or not it's the artery or whether it's the vein. Not clear, but whatever the case is, you should be going for the blood vessel. V'nir d'davka lechatchila kam Rav Yehuda v'im tzalo d'eve v'lo nechatchu avridim sharei. And then Tosus points out also that even within the sheet of Rav Yehuda, which we should be following, but that's only a din lechatchila, it's not b'di'evet. B'di'evet, according to Rav Yehuda, if I did not hit the major arteries, did not hit the major blood vessels, so b'di'evet, it's going to be okay. So even within Shitas Rav Yehuda, says Tosfos, it's a din lachatchila, it's not likuva, it's not b'di'evet. Back to the Mishnah. Now the Mishnah over here is telling us when it's no good. By a bird, if I only cut half of one siman, no good. By an animal, if I cut one and a half, so also no good. And the reason why, of course, is because you didn't hit the majority of both pipes for the animal, or you didn't hit the majority of one pipe for a bird, and therefore it's no good. And then the Mishnah, as if we couldn't get the inference, the Mishnah says, by a bird it has to be the majority, and by an animal it has to be the majority of two of the pipes. Later in this perek, we're going to be discussing why the Mishnah seems to be repeating information which at this point in time we seem to already know. Stay tuned, that's coming up later in the Gemara. Our discussion that we start off with this morning is starts as follows. I foreshadow the Gemara's first question, and that is that when the Mishnah says you cut two by the animal, and okay, that's acceptable. Acceptable? What more did you want me to do? Right? When an assignment is given in school and you did the entire assignment, and then you get a B. Well, what are you giving me a B for? I did exactly what you asked me to do. So I guess the teacher could talk about, I don't know. You can make something up, but the creativity, whatever the case is. But over here, though, you shechted the two simanim of an animal. Why is the Mishnah giving you a pass? Shechitas ukshera. Don't give me a pass, give me an A. So the Gemara gives one of two possible answers. So one of two possibilities, says the Gemara. And this answer, these two answers of the Gemara really are fundamental and demand analysis, and we could be spending the rest of today talking about these two lines of Gemara. Obviously, we're not. We're learning the daf. But the Gemara says one of two possibilities. One is that where's the pass fail? It's when that's talking about the bird. Meaning when you're shechting the bird, so what did we learn together? That you only have to cut one siman. And let's say you did cut that one siman. Pass. But you're not getting an A. Why? Because there really is another siman, and if you want that A, so what you should be doing is you should be cutting through both pipes of a bird. If I cut one pipe of a bird, so shechitas ukshera. It's good. The bird is kosher. But you want more credit, or you want to do a better job? Go through both pipes. Or conversely, that's answer number one of the Gemara. Conversely, what we could be talking about is the Mishnah's line about rov. By an animal, when is the shechita accomplished? When you go through the majority of both of the pipes. On this is where shechitas ukshera. That's good. The animal shechted. Pass. But you want a better grade? Go through the entirety of both of the pipes, and then you're going to get a better grade. Now, so what we just learned together in the Gemara is that according to the second answer of the Gemara, even though the Mishnah says rov is acceptable, but that's it. It's only acceptable. To be lechatchila shechting an animal, you have to go through kol hasimon. Why do you have to go through kol hasimon? So the Rishonim debate. It happens to be, I said share on this already previously, and in the afternoon, one of the afternoon slots. So the Ramban, who is quoted, I mean, the Ramban is the father of the Spanish Rishonim. So not biologically, but in other words, he's one of the first. So he writes right here on the Gemara that you could say one of two ways. Either what you could say is, it's a harchaka, it's just a safeguard. Meaning that if I only stop at 51% of the second pipe, so the difference between 51% and 50% is really small. And so therefore, as our chakam midrabban, as a chumad derabbanan, so cut through the entirety of it. Because we're afraid that if I stop at 51, instead of 51, I might have stopped at 50. Okay, so that's one way to say it. But there's another way to say it, and it's really interesting, and that is that no, me ikar hadin min haTorah, I should have to go through the entirety of both simanim, meaning not as a harchaka de rabbanim, but as a mitzvah min haTorah. Okay, and there are different ways to explain the Ramban and say over the Ramban. I'm not going to do that now, but in other words, just understand, really interesting how the Gemara over here says that rov is acceptable, but if you want to do the din lechatchil, you have to go through all of the siman. Yeah.
If you cut through one of the simanim of a bird, lechatchila, the bird's not kosher?
No, it's kosher.
Lechatchila.
Well, in other words, you can't mix those terms up. Meaning, if you're asking me it's kosher, I'll say it's kosher, because that's what the Mishnah said. Now, as lechatchila, you should be going through the second siman. According to the first answer of the Gemara, you should be going through the second siman. But in other words, if you stopped after the first siman, the bird is kosher. Absolutely, objectively kosher. It's just that, you know, that was pass-fail. And you passed. In other words, you want a better grade? Go through the second siman. And again, why? So that's what the Ramban is trying to do. He's trying to explain why. So the easier way to say it is because it's a harchaka mit derabanan. In fact, Rashi over here, I didn't make this point clear. Rashi over here seems to go like that. That it's a din derabanan, that you should be going through by the bird, the second siman. And ostensibly, Rashi would say the same thing. What I'm saying now is certainly open for a debate. Rashi would be saying the same thing also by the majority of both pipes of a animal, presumably. We're back in the Gemara. We are right after the siman. It's about 9-10 lines down from the top of the Amud. I'm Rav Kahana. How do I know when you shecht an animal, so you're going to be cutting the neck? Now, I'll give away the answer. Spoiler alert. So the answer is it's because halacha Moshe Mesinai. But what the Gemara is going to be trying to do for almost the entirety of today's daf is cite Ramazim in the Torah, how we could see this play out in the Torah. Where in the Torah is this alluded to? So we're going to try a number of different ways. Shenemer v'shachadis ben abakar mimakum shesach or shach chateihu. So what the Gemara is now going to try to do is darshan the word shachat, actually created as a contraction of two words. So the first word is shach. Shach means to bend, right? Anachnu mishtachavim umodim. So shach means to bend, and chateihu mean, and that's where you're going to cleanse it out. You're going to clean it out. Now, how do I know that the word chateu means cleansing? So a couple of psukim in the Torah. One, by nige batim, the Torah says that you are going to clean the house out using the word v'chiteis abayis. Ibai sema mehacha, techateini bezo v'taher. Pasuk in Tehillim describing how when we get cleansed with the Azov, presumably, simple pshat in the pasuk in Tehillim, it's talking about the paraduma. So we are going to be cleansed. So you see the word chateo over here as a word of cleansing. So where the animal bends, so that's where it's going to be cleansed. Now ve'emam is navo. Okay, so we're looking for parts of the body of the animal where it bends, and that's where I'm going to cut it. If that's all you got for me, says the Gemara, so then we'll look for other bending parts of an animal, notably the tail. So which I mean, really messy. Meaning cut the tail and let it bleed out from that wound. So the Gemara says, Sach mechal shezakaf bi'inan. So the Gemara says, yeah, but in other words, I need a place on the animal where it is upright and it bends. In other words, the tail is only in a bent position. V'hasach v'omedhu. Okay, so the tail is taken out of the discussion because it doesn't even have the potential straining out. V'eima me'azno. Maybe cut it from the ear. The ear of the animal bends, it stands up and bends down as well. Bein and dama nefesh veleka. Gemara says, yeah, but when you cut there, you're not going to get dama nefesh. You need to cut it in a place where there are major arteries, major veins, so that when you're cutting, you're going to be immediately achieving blood flow, and not just blood flow, but dama nefesh, life blood. Blood in which the animal, in just a couple of moments, will bleed out and the animal will die. Ve'ema, dekara va'azel ad dama nefesh. Well, maybe start at the ear, and just keep going. Now, when I say keep going, I don't exactly know what I mean. But okay, but keep going until you get to the lifeblood. Vista when the Gemara says, and look, and ultimately when all said and done, that drasha by itself does not necessarily tell us it is the neck. And on top of that, we know that there are five psulei shechita. Where do they come from? Shehiya, drasha, chalada, agrama, ikra, minalan. And as far as the five psulei shechita are concerned, where does that come from? And by the way, we discussed it very little in the previous perek. In the first perek, we didn't talk much about the how to shecht. Again, the first perek was the who and the when and with what. But in other words, this perek is going to be discussing in a greater detail. So in the course of this perek, we're going to be exploring all five of the psulei shechita in much greater detail. Ela gemara. So the gemara says, shechita menatzavar nami gemara. So ultimately, the correct answer is halacha Moshe Mesinai. Where shechita comes from, the fact that it is shechted, that we're cutting the neck, and the fact that the five psulei shechita, it all emanates from halacha Moshe Mesinai. Ukrala ma'asa, so as far as the pasuk is concerned, meaning what is the Torah trying to communicate with the word v'shachat? Dolo shavigistra, it means that we're not to cut it into two pieces. When you do the act of shechita, make sure that you cut, but don't cut it into two separate pieces. Now, how do we get that from the word v'shachat? So it's a really interesting Rashi. In fact, I'll read a good amount of the Rashi inside. Delola Shavi Gistera. Rashi writes as follows. Rashi is a little bit below where we are in the Gemara, just a line below that. Shelo Yachto Cholam Afrekas L'Shnayim. What we're not to do when shechting an animal is basically go through the entire neck, cutting it into two separate pieces. In other words, what you do is slit the throat, but don't go so far in where you're going to be cutting it to two pieces. Why not? The word chateu means just extract the blood, and that's it. Ule'idach lishna hechsher, achilaso dahainu asimanim, visulo. Lishna achrina, dolo shavi gistera, shelo yidros. Okay, so I'm sorry, before I get to the lishna achrina of Rashi, so the first pshat of Rashi basically is telling me that the word chateo means the purpose of shechita is just simply to get blood out. I know I mentioned this in the beginning of Shir today, but this first pshat of Rashi could not say it any clearer. That really the purpose of shechita is to remove the blood. So again, it's that tension of, you know what you want, you know what you're aiming for? You're aiming for the simanim, the trach and the esophagus. You know what the purpose is? To get the blood out. So I mentioned this at the beginning of Shir. You see this tension very clearly over here. Like, are we going for the artery? Are we going for the jugular? Are we going for the pipes? And the answer is yes. Just, you know, when we learn the Gemara, like, all the focus is on the pipes, but then it's clear that we also want blood to come out as well. Now, Lishna Achrina, now Rashi also offers another pshat as well, also interesting. Delo Shavigistra Shelo Yidros. So Rashi over here says that Lo Shavigistra means that we don't want to chop. In other words, we want to go back and forth, slice, but not chop. How do I get that? So Rashi writes off agav de hilchos shechita lachem moshim esina heim yesh mehem shenichtevu kagon drasa demafkin lakaman mi v'shachat ein v'shachat ela lashon umashach. Super interesting, Rashi. Rashi says that the five psuli shechita are halacha moshim esina except for hadrasa. Hadrasa is actually in the pasuk. We know from the pasuk that not a chopping motion, but a back and forth. How do we see that? Rashi goes on to explain. Rashi says that if you're going in a chopping motion, that's hadrasa, the psul of hadrasa. So what you're going to end up doing is basically cutting the neck into two. It's really fantastic, Rashi. Rashi says, because when you're going back and forth, it's a much more controlled cut. You have total control in terms of when to stop. As opposed to like a hatchet, where you're going to be chopping right through the neck, it's a much less controlled chop. You really can't. I mean, I'm sure somebody experienced can, but it's really hard to just be able to stop right in the middle of the neck and no more. So in other words, when you're going in a chopping motion, you're going to probably cut through the entirety of the neck. When you're going back and forth, you have total control of the cut. You see somebody with a chopping knife, like some sort of hatchet, going through a really, really hard vegetable, a gourd. So what's going to end up doing is they're going to come down with force, and sometimes go halfway through, but sometimes go all the way through. And so Rashi says that the psul of hadrasa is actually in the Torah. And when the Gemara says that the halacha moshe misina, it's going on the other four. Second pshat on Rashi. Really interesting. Let's continue back in the Gemara.
If you do cut the neck off, is that a problem?
That's a great question. It's a great question. I'll just leave it off as a really good question. It's hard to imagine that the shechita is going to be psula. I don't know. Okay, let's. How about that? Right now, let me just say I don't know. It's factual. I really don't know.
It's a possibility.
I'm with you. Okay. Rav Yemar says that from the pasuk of zavachta, actually that teaches us that you're shechting from the neck. And again, we're doing the same thing that we did just earlier. We're trying to learn out these halachas of where to shech the animal based on drushas. So the Gemara says, "My mashma da chateo lishon de mitbarhu." Now the word chateo over here does not mean to cleanse, because that was previously, and that was ches tes. Over here, this is ches tough, and that means to break. How do I know that? The Gemara says, "Altira v'altechas." Okay, so you open up to the beginning of Devarim, and the Torah says, don't be afraid, don't be broken. Don't have a spirit that's broken. Now we're looking for a place where it's flown, and that's where you're going to break it. The Gemara says, okay, what about the nose? The nose is flowing. Mucus is coming out of the nose. The Gemara says, nah, I'm not going to accept that because we're looking for where the flow comes because I break it, as opposed to the nose, where the flow is coming out on its own. Vema milibo. So the Gemara says, okay, but how about this? How about break it, meaning pierce, go right into the chest, into the heart. And then it's going to start flowing. Maybe that's how you understand the pasuk. If the halachas are based on the pasuk, visu. Now, how do I know about the five psalas? Shchita la Gemara, shchita minitzav nami Gemara. So the Gemara says, okay, it's Gemara, it's halacha Moshe Mesinai. And as far as the pasuk, ukra la mayasa de lo shavigistra. And the Torah is just here to teach us that on one hand, break it, on the other hand, don't break it into two. And again, similar to what we said above. Debei Rabbi Shmuel, Tana v'shachar al tikre v'shachar el v'sachat. Mimakum shesach chateu. Again, we're doing this round three. We're trying to learn out from the psukim this idea that shechita is coming out of the neck. We're looking to shechita in the neck. So maybe it's from the fact that the Torah, the shachat, could be read v'sachat. The shin and the samach are interchangeable letters. And so if I'm reading it now, v'sachat, the place where the animal is producing sound, so that's where you shechita. So the Gemara says, well, the place you're producing sound, okay, so how about the tongue? The Gemara's very question. Ve'ima melusho, no, be'inan dam ha'nefesh v'leka. Gemara says, no, it can't be that because it's dam ha'nefesh. It has to be the blood flow, which is vital blood flow. The Gemara says, ve'ima dekar va'azel ad dam ha'nefesh, okay. Maybe go through the tongue and just keep going until you get to a vital artery. So the Gemara says, v'sushia drosachala da'agrama v'yikar minalan, and again, we keep going back, running into that same question. What about the five psule shchita? Ela gemara, shchita minitzav, nami gemara. And again, same story. Halach l'moshe misinai. Ukran l'may asid olashav v'gistera. And as far as the pasuk is concerned, so the pasuk is there to teach us that you're not to cut it into two pieces. Tana maisa l'mahacha. Gemara quotes now another brisa on this topic of shchitas at the neck. The Torah says, when presenting the carbon ola on the Mizbeach, that you're going to be arranging the pieces. Now the Torah says, and of the pieces of the animal include the head and the fat of the animal. Now, why does the Torah have to spell that out? It's a carbon ola. It's all going on the Mizbeach. And the Torah has to now go out of its way and say, and make sure to get the head, like we knew that. Why does the Torah spell them out? Because the Torah says that there's a skinning of the animal, and then, and parenthetically, the hide goes to the Kohanim, and then the animal is put up onto the Mizbeach. So we could have entertained the following Havamina. Which parts of the animal go up onto the Mizbeach? Only the parts of the animal that are flayed. The head is not flayed. Minan l'rabba s'sarosha kvar hutaz. Now, why is the head not flayed? Because the head is already detached from the body. In other words, through the act of shechita, the head is detached. Now, already we've heard this numerous times this morning, the idea that I should not be making a full detachment of the head and the body when shechting. That's true. On the other hand, however, a good amount of the head is still detached from the body and is not flayed. And so therefore, we could have entertained a havamina, the head doesn't go onto the Mizbech. That's why the Torah says, es roshov es pidro, is put onto the Mizbech because of the havamina, that maybe the head is not going onto the Mizbech. Now, let's work with the following logic. Why is the head detached? And the answer is obvious, because you shechted the animal. So you see, we know what the result is, so now we're just working backwards. If the head is detached, because I shechted, that must mean that the shechita is done at the neck, detaching the head from the body. Okay, good. So an argument. The Gemara says, so it's an argument. It's a way of deducing that shechita is minatzavar. So again, as far as up until now, the Gemara kept bouncing back to the Halach l'moshe misina, halach l'moshe misina. This braisa seems to be content learning it from this drasha.
Why don't they ask the five
Right. Right. Well, first of all, the Gemara is quoting a brisa, so it could, why doesn't the Gemara address this question on the brisa? Yeah. Right. Okay. Fair question. I don't know. Tana pasuk b'rosho padu misayim b'rosho pidro. Now, if you're looking really carefully at the brisa, so you'll note that the brisa pulled a little bit of a fast one on us, meaning that first the brisa quoted the pasuk of Rosh as a padu. If you look it up, that's pasuk ches, and I did. And then the brisa at the end as rosho v'es pidro. That's just a couple pesukim later. All right, I think pasuk good base. So anyway, so why did the brisa do that? So the Gemara goes on to explain. Hachi kamar. Minan l'rabos es harosh ha'kvar hutas, tamalam res harosh v'es ha'padar. Ah, so really the drasha is coming from the first reference. That's pasuk ches. V'roshop v'upidro lamali. As far as the second pasuk is concerned, what is that coming to teach us? Because there is a drasha coming out from there, but what is the drasha? So the Gemara says a different halacha. L'chit etanyim. Minan l'rosh ha'padar shekodim l'chol ha'nisachim. As far as rosh and padar are concerned, when marching the limbs of the Ola up the ramp to the top of the Mizbeach, to be burnt on the top of the Mizbeach, so what is at the head of the parade? So, with pun intended, the head is at the head of the parade. So, how do I know that? Shekom l'chol nesachim tamalomer, es rosho v'es pidro v'arach. So the Torah says that the head is at the head. Makes sense? Top of the next Amud. U'pedu kamad dekaz rachman alamali. Now, as far as padr, the word padr in the Torah is a reference to the fat, the chaylev of the animal that is going to be brought up. Why mention it the first time? Now, as far as the head is concerned, so that we need to know. Because the first time is a reference to the drasha of yushekt at the neck. The second time is tell us is that it's the head of the parade in terms of the limbs being marched up. But the first reference of the word upadr, what is that coming to teach us? Explains the Gemara. What we're going to do is that look, we're carrying the head up, and the head obviously has a major opening, a major open area. It would be more appropriate if we were offering this as a gift to try to cover that area, so it's more befitting, it's more bechavod. So that's what we do. We actually take the padr, we take the fat, and we line the open area, the open wound, so that is more presentable when bringing it up onto the mizbech. V'haytana ma'aseh l'mehacha. And again, it's one theme for today. In the Torah, can we see any kind of depiction that shechita is done from the neck? So if I could divide today's daf, like the first half of today's daf, halacha Moshe Mesinai. Second half of today's daf, we can actually tease it out of Pesukim. So, detailing the Gemara here quotes another brisa. Zos Torah sabehema va'ov, v'chi be'ez the Torah shav sabehema la'ov, va'ov la'behema. In Parsha Shemini, the Torah says, these are the laws of behema va'ov, as if there are a uniform law. Now, uniform law, what are you talking about? They're not uniform. Behema metame b'magav amasa. An animal that went unshechted, so gives off toma, as I explained in the beginning of Shir today, either through contact or through carrying. Ouf in a matame b'magav amasa. A bird, however, that died without the benefit of a shechita does not give off maga umasa tuma. And then, conversely, ouf matame b'garam abeis abliya behema in a matame b'garam abeis abliya. A bird gives off tuma by ingesting a kezias of the meat of the bird. An animal does not give off tuma that manner. So, in other words, the transmission of tuma by an animal and birds are totally different, mutually exclusive of one another. Furthermore, Beis the Torah shafs the behema la'ov, ov la behema la'melacha. Ma behema b'shchita, af ov b'shchita. Ima la'alam b'rov shnayim, af kan b'rov shnayim, tam alam rezos. So just like an animal is shechted, so too is a bird. Well, if an animal is shechted, you know, you cut through both the money by an animal, same by a bird, the Torah says the word vizos. It's a miut. It tells us that the analogy is good, but limited. It's not a perfect analogy. There are both require shechita by an animal, two simanim, by a bird only one. Rabbi Elazar Amar Beizah Torah Shafs Abayim Alof Of Labayim. Now Rabbi Elazar in the same brisa has a different understanding of what the Torah is trying to do by having both of these in the same pasuk. Lam Lecha Ma'of Hechsher Menetzaver Af Behema Hechsher Menetzaver. Ah, so just like a bird is prepared by the neck, so too an animal is also prepared by a neck. Meaning, according to Rabbi Eliezer, this is the source of shechitas in the neck. Ima lahalan. Yeah, you're good, good. That the Gemara is going to ask. Ima lahalan imol arif avkam imol arif. Okay, so I know that the bird is done at the neck, but you know where the bird, you know where it's done? So we did this earlier in the Masechta. We know. So Malika is done at the back of the neck. Oh, so maybe an animal back of the neck? So Tamalamar umalak es rosho mimul arpovelo yavdil. Rosh Hashozema mimul aref, vein rosh shal acher mimul aref. No, in terms of the bird, it's the back of the neck, and the Torah says it's exclusively to the bird, which is the back of the neck. So that means that by an animal, it's the neck, but it's not the back because that's exclusively in the realm of the bird. So by the animal, it's the front of the neck. So in other words, what we're getting from the bird is just simply the neck area. And then, which side of the neck? Well, it depends. If you're talking about the bird, the back. If you're talking about an animal, the front. Now, granted, by the way, this drasha is really only as it relates to karbanos and kachim. Right. We're saying the same thing. So it only applies by karbanos and kachim. Like, this drasha does not work for shechitas chulin. Okay. Rabbi Lazar, hai zos mai avile. Now, according to Rabbi Lazar, what are you doing with the word zos? Because that was a miyat. Now, according to the Tanakama, we had a drasha for the word zos. That by an animal, two simanim, by a bird, one simanim. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, what do you do with that? It's basically the same point. Without the word zos, I would have said, look, by a bird, it's one simanim. So by an animal, we could have argued also one simanim. The word zos tells me no. That by a bird, it's a limited form of shechita. Tanibar kapar zos taras abehema va'of, hita lakas of la'of bein behema ladagim. Lechaiva b'shnei simanim. I'm sorry. You'll notice carefully how the Torah positions the bird in the Pasuk. The Torah puts bird right between animals and fish. So basically in the summary, so the Torah describes it in the order of animals, birds, and fish. And so now what does that mean regarding the shechita of a bird? It's somewhere between an animal and fish. Well, what do we know? So the Gemara spells it out. Well, look, an animal has two simanim and a fish has no simanim. Meaning, what do you do in order to eat a fish? And the answer is nothing. You take it out of the water, you let it die. There is a discussion outside of the Gemara in terms of eating the fish while it's alive. Is that okay? So the Rishonim say no, but in terms of why it's not okay, so the Rishonim discuss and debate. But as far as shechita is concerned, this we could say unequivocally. There is no shechita as it relates to fish, and there is shechita shnei simanim as it relates to animals. So what do you do with bird that is located right between the two? So you take an average. So it's one. Okay. It's very, okay. I know. Dagim delav b'nei shechita ninu. Now these are drashas, by the way. In other words, we can go back to the first half of today's daf and just simply say it's halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, but again, there are other ways to explore the same dilemma, so to say. Dagim delav b'nei shechita ninu minalan. Now, how do I know that fish do not require shechita? So the Gemara says, Ilema mishim tichsiv, hatzona bakar yishachit lahem, im es kol dagei hayam yaseif lahem. Ba'asifa ba'am asagi lahum. Well, actually, if you look carefully in Parshas Baloscha, you're going to see the contrast. It's a great contrast. Sheep and cattle you shecht, and fish you collect. Oh, it's great. It's a great contrast. So Ella me'ata gabi slav dichsiv. So ve'yasvu es slav. So hachinami delav v'shchita. Okay, but the Torah describing the quail, which obviously is a bird. So the Torah says ye asfu, and you want to tell me that it doesn't require shchita? The Gemara says no. V'hamar lepocho b'v'lo klumi afshar shekar hukash lebehema, and we already know that that's impossible. That's an untenable conclusion. We said earlier that birds need a shechita, modified, but they still need a shechita. So hasam lo ksiva asifa b'makom shechita de'achrina. Hachel ksiva asifa b'makom shechita de'achrina. But the Gemara notes, yes, you're right, but we're right. Because in the first pasuk that we quote in Baal Oscha, the contrast was right there in front of us. Sheep and cattle are shechted, and fish are collected. So in that one pasuk, when you have those two contrasting viewpoints, clearly fish do not need to be shechted. Masha Enke, in the pasuk that you quoted to me by Slav, so there, there's no contrasting shechita, just as Slav. So that's why it allows us earlier to make that drasha. Darash Ubar Galila Behema Shinivras Mina Yavasha Echsher B'Shnei Simanim Dagim Shinivru Mina Mayim Echsher B'Velo Klum. We can go back all the way to creation and see how these animals are created and then arrive at the conclusion. You see, as it relates to an animal, so the Torah says that the animal is created min hayavasha, from the land. And the fish are actually created from water. So, animal which is created from land, shnei simanim. In other words, in order to extinguish its life, you have to go through both pipes. And fish which are created from the water, so bevaloklum. Ov, shenivra min arakak, hechsher b'siman echad. Now, as it relates to birds, how were the birds created? How did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create the birds in Maisa Bereishis on day 5? So the answer is, as a hybrid, meaning that the birds came from the rakak, the mud, which was a combination of earth and water. Amar Rav Shmuel Kiputka Teda, Sherei Ofas Yeshlam Kaskeses Baragleim Kedagim. Look carefully at the bird, and look at the feet of the bird. So the feet of the bird are scaly in nature. So there's just evidence of this idea that the creation of the bird was a hybrid of the earth and the water. Okay. We'll pause over here, and tomorrow we'll pick it up. We'll pick it up.